thank you for having me on Christmas Eve. Good to see you. If you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to talk about Christmas. Somebody tells me I've met a few Scrooges through the years that say Christmas is not in the Bible. And, if you look hard enough, it's everywhere. Holy days, Easter eggs, and Christmas trees are not why Jesus came. But if my neighbor speaks of these, then I must speak his name. Tell them of the greatest gift that ever I received, and of the cross that closed the rift by blood when I believed. Our prayer that Christ is understood and none would be deceived. God's greatest gift will do no good unless it is received. And so what a wonderful time we have during the Christmas holiday to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. A manger is a little place from which the ox is fed, but long ago, one silent night, it then became Christ's bed. The angels sang, men stood in awe, for there was Christ upon the straw. He had no throne, no palace home, no crown upon his head. In eastern sky, a star on high began to burn and show the way. The wise men followed and drew nigh, and lowly shepherds bowed to pray. We too would come and worship thee, God's gift for all humanity, in faith to crown him Lord of all, whether in heaven high or lowly stall. There was no room in the village inn when you came to rescue us from sin. Our Savior, friend, and King thou art. You're always welcome in our heart. I have a strange text for Christmas in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. I don't know if you've been to 7-Eleven. It's a convenience store. But if you forget everything else, you can remember that the preacher spoke about 7-Eleven. And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Let me repeat that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The pronoun police and the politically correct cadets want us to say season's greetings and happy holiday. Happy holiday never saved anyone. It's Christ in Christmas. It's not the hype, it's the hope that excites us this morning. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so I think about Christmas and how special it is. But first, In a few minutes, I want to talk about the presence of Christmas, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. And I want you to think back to your childhood. And then in the second session, I want to talk about how that all changed for me when I discovered the presence of Christmas, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, God present with us. The big difference. Many today will just get, tomorrow will just get presents. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Oh, that they would know the presence of God in their life. Well, anyway, what happened to Christmas? Perhaps it's just me, but as I remember Christmas, it used to have a magical quality. I have no idea what happened to Christmas. Perhaps it was because we were more innocent in those days, or more easily impressed in those days. Perhaps there was a gentle and genuine conspiracy of kindness and goodwill we have now lost with all of our sophistication. Perhaps the idea that Christmas is only for children is merely a way of adults who are secretly disappointed to be able to cope with their own feelings of loss and emptiness. I don't know. But I have a different theory. I suspect what really happened to Christmas is that it was killed by prosperity. I have a suspicion that Christmas was originally designed for poor people. Isaiah chapter 61, 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach glad tidings unto the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open the prison doors to those that are bound." Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that he, although he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. I believe the problem is people have forgotten, and Jesus Christ himself for our sakes became poor. Excess has somehow extinguished the little candles of simplicity and replaced it with the brighter but artificial gas logs of commercialism. Those who think such an assessment is nostalgic nonsense do not realize what it is like to own a passbook for a Christmas club. They have never had to make a purchase on layaway. They have never had to put a chicken back at the checkout counter because they didn't have enough money. You don't know what poor is until you have to put the chicken back. You don't do that anymore today. Those who think my memories are absurd probably never had to wait and hold off shopping until after the Christmas bonus envelopes were distributed. Although they were out of earshot, I remember the excited exchange between my parents as they examined and discussed the contents of such an envelope as they sat at the kitchen table many Christmases ago. MasterCard and American Express have done more to kill the real spirit of Christmas than they will ever know. In the 1950s, New York City and its Christmas season was a time of awe, excitement, and wonder, especially for children. I'm old enough to remember the large ocean liners when they still docked along the piers of Lower Manhattan before the Verrazano Bridge was built, before the first plans for the World Trade Center were drawn. I remember the mothball fleet, the Navy's retired armada, which survived the thunder and rage of World War II as it sat quietly anchored up the Hudson River, enjoying a peace our fathers so sacrificially secured. Every one of those ships were christened as they were launched from the Brooklyn Navy Yard without apology. In the 1950s, no one objected to the consecration of those warships and the fact that the word Christ is in the word christened. Each Christmas season, Macy's department store was transformed into a winter wonderland. This was before everyone had a TV or anyone ever heard of Disneyland. Life was simple. They were just boys and girls, men and women, and Kate Smith saying God Bless America every day on the radio. And intersectionality back in the day was the intersection in which the school crossing guard helped the little children get safely to school on Monday morning. Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving, Macy's, Gimbel's, and Abraham and Strauss were filled with shoppers and packed to the gills with potential gifts. My parents sent Christmas cards to friends and relatives, and they had never set their eyes on a credit card. And no one ever got one of those little plastic cards for Christmas either. In the 1950s, somebody actually spent time to think about us and perhaps walk miles or examine 100 storefront windows looking for that perfect gift before holding it on their lap on the subway or on the crowded bus, before wrapping it in colorful paper and hiding it from us until Christmas morning, or in our case, and most Scandinavians, until Christmas Eve. We had little, but compared with today, we had so much more. Christmas was a time for giving. It was a time people remembered those that served them and helped them through the year. The doorman who tipped his hat and hailed a cab on Madison Avenue, or the elevator operator who for a whole year opened and closed the gate. Elevators used to have gates. And took you up the skyscraper before automation eliminated that job. But the boy who brought your groceries, or the milkman who filled that little box by your front door every morning with milk and butter. And I, being a newspaper boy, appreciated being remembered by those on my route after delivering the afternoon news, regardless of the weather on my bicycle. In New York, you did not throw the newspaper. You carried it and laid it at the front door. after the war, my father went where the work was. And the way he told it, you took what you could find. My parents moved to Brooklyn, New York when I was about 3. In order to make ends meet, we moved into an apartment building on what was now Henry Street near Fulton and Flatbush Avenues. Besides finding temporary work as a house painter, my father served as a building superintendent. The salary included a rent-free apartment. Along with his duties was setting the trash cans out at the curb for garbage pickup, as well as the heavy ash cans. City sanitation men were a special breed of their own back in those days. They worked hard on the hottest summer days and through the coldest of winters. They worked in the pouring rain and in the biting wind. They would arrive on their appointed days with a kind of clatter and commotion and the crash of garbage can tops sounded like a peculiar percussion section in their own symphony orchestra. Once a year, at Christmas time, it was the custom for apartment building superintendents to give a little gift, a token of gratitude and appreciation in the form of money discreetly placed in an envelope. It not only showed appreciation, but it also assured that your garbage cans did not get accidentally run over by the garbage truck or roll out in the middle of the street, if you know what I mean. As I said, we did not have very much in those days, and it was Christmas. On this one particular day before Christmas, the doorbell rang, but my father was not at home. My mother answered the door. My mother was an immigrant who had recently arrived from Iceland and was not acquainted with the many customs of America, to say nothing of the community trends, traditions of Brooklyn, New York. A lieutenant from the sanitation department was standing at the door, hat in hand. In her broken English, she asked, "May I help you?" She was caught by surprise and did not understand or appreciate the obvious Christmas ritual of the natives. The man said, "I'm from the sanitation department. Do you have anything for us?" "Oh, yow. 1 minute, please," my Icelandic mother said with a heavy Nordic accent. "Let me look." After a couple of minutes, she returned to the polite young garbage man who was so kind to make a personal call. And you guessed it, she handed him 2 brown paper bags full of garbage. When my father heard, first he was shocked, then he was appalled, then he was embarrassed. It took a few years before he realized it was hilarious. But he made it right. He made it right. A mistake was made, but he made it right. My father always had a way of making it right. 2,000 years ago, God came into this world to make it right. God knows how to give good gifts. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given and the best gift I ever received. Isaiah spoke about it in his book, chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." children, Christmas is about the presents. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. They dream about it. They anticipate it. They write letters and send them to the North Pole. They think about the presents. That's the way children are. And you and I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. If you're looking for the perfect gift, look no further than Isaiah 9:6. The perfect gift has been found, and the perfect gift is still available this Christmas. What is the perfect gift? What exactly is somebody looking for when they look for the perfect gift for Christmas? The first thing, it's something that's wonderful. You've seen that on the face of your grandson or granddaughter or your children. And that's what you're shooting for. Wonderful. Their eyes are as big as saucers and their mouth drops open wide as they look at the present they just opened. And they say, wow! 2,000 years ago, God Almighty came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, laid in the manger. And for all these years, we have come following the other wise men, standing in awe before the gift of gifts, which is wonderful. There's no gift like this gift. If they don't go well when they open the present, you miss the mark. They toss it aside and reach for something else. But you remember when you were a child and your parent knew how to give good gifts. And you opened it and you said, wow, wonderful. I remember some of my own. I didn't think my parents could afford it. That in itself caused me to go, wow. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. Maybe it was the layaway. Maybe it was the Christmas passbook. I don't know, but I didn't expect it. Wow. 2,000 years ago, there in the manger in Bethlehem. Wow. If you have a perfect gift, the first thing is, it's got to be wonderful. Counselor. Second thing about a perfect gift is, it's got to be wise. It has to be thought out. You have to think about it. You give Johnny the dump truck. And you give Susie the baby doll. At least that's the way it was when we were growing up. And I think even today, Johnny gets excited when he sees that Tonka truck and he starts to run it around the living room rug. And you stand in amazement as your little sister took a baby doll made out of rubber and held it to her breast like it was a living thing. And she was captured with a spell and the amazement of being a little mother holding a little baby. It was appropriate. The gift matched. The gift fit. It was intelligent. It was thought out. The gift of Jesus Christ coming into this world as a baby was thought out millennia ago. Before the world was made, God thought it out. Plan to display his grace and his love to man who would be made in his image. An intelligent gift from an intelligent designer. Counselor. Wise. Third thing about a gift, if it's going to be a perfect gift, wonderful counselor, mighty God. It's powerful. There was a time when people would give a pet rock and you'd ask, well, what does it do? Well, it doesn't do anything. Well, that's nothing. do that. No, no. The gift has to do something. It has to be have some power to it. There was never a gift ever given, but we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Who here doesn't need the power of God in their life? That's what's missing in the world today. And when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Power of God. To as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. I have received a lot of gifts in 77 years from Christmas. Vaguely I remember some as a child. My Prince Valiant sword. I don't know what happened to that. You see, most of those gifts I outgrew. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't know what happened to that Prince Valiant sword. I lost some. Some broke. Some wore out. Some got stolen, like my bike. Got stolen off the Staten Island ferry. Turn around and next thing you know, gone. Gifts gone. The gift that God gives is eternal. It's forever. It's the forever gift. Everlasting life. It's the greatest gift. The perfect gift. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," said Jesus. You won't outgrow Him. You won't outrun Him. You won't outwear Him. He will be yours forever. And you will be His. It's God's forever gift. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace. When I knelt by that army bunk bed 56 years ago, I had a war going on in my heart and in my head. I brought it home with me. It was contagious. I lost faith in myself, and I lost faith in people and humanity. And but for the grace of God, I have no idea what would have happened. But I came close to the edge of the black hole and the event horizon. But then someone pointed me back to Jesus, God's perfect gift, the one who died on the cross in my stead. And the reason for all the problems of the world are found, the answer is found in Him, in Jesus. After I got up from my knees next to that army bunk bed, confessing my sins to God and giving my heart to Jesus, I stood up. I had peace in my heart that I can't explain. The war was over. And I received God's gift of salvation. And I didn't exactly say the words, but I thought the words, similar to what I said on many a Christmases as a little boy. I said, "Just what I always needed." I didn't know it, but that's what I needed. I needed the peace of God. And I had peace with God, and I had the peace of God. And it was okay. Just what I always needed. And that's what the world needs today. From Fallujah to Gaza to Taiwan to Moscow to Minnesota. The problem is they don't have the peace of God. But what do I give God? What do you give somebody that has everything? I gave Him my heart. And when I said just what I always needed, it's as if I heard God say just what I always wanted. God gave you the perfect gift. but a perfect gift has to be received. I hope you've received it. You're going to receive Him today. Just open your heart. And then He comes, He brings all of His stuff. And you'll be able to say, just what I always needed. And then you bow before Him and give Him your heart. First you give Him all your sin. And then you give Him your heart. He cleans it up. He steps inside. And He says, just what I always wanted. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Christmas. Thank You for the perfect gift. Thank You for the Lord Jesus, who came into this world and took our place on Calvary's cross and paid for all of our sins in full. Thank You for everyone who's here and has received that gift and that new life. I pray that You would use us to tell others who have yet to receive Him that there's still time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.